Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezat Hashem, BPJ number 96. That's Bias Pnimi Joint Shear number 96. We're in a book called Setting a Table for Two by Avraham Peretz Friedman, a wonderful book, in a chapter called Getting an Attitude. And the past two shiurim, we emphasize the concept of to develop self-respect and a healthy self-image, and the idea of never speaking disparagingly about yourself and not to think about that way about yourself either. The next piece of advice he gives is to be involved in meaningful activities and do them for the right reasons. So to participate actively and totally and enthusiastically in meaningful idealistic activities increases tremendously feelings of self-esteem, while when you just waste time constantly in the pursuit of fun, has an opposite effect. It's okay here and there to have a fun time, but as a consistency, it really wears us down. He says a fascinating concept, which is so true, that the crisis of self-esteem is a lot a byproduct of our lives of affluence, of wealth, of ease, of our materialistic situation, because thank God, most of us, even if we're not wealthy, have a lot of material comforts, and we don't have this transcendent meaning, deep meaning in our lives. Our soul needs meaning to be fulfilled, lots of meaning to be fulfilled. Without meaning, the soul withers. Now, in the days where, ironically, it was rough, and people struggled for their survival, they may have had real hard lives, but they rarely suffered from issues of low self-esteem. Maybe you could say they didn't have a minute to think about it. They were too busy trying to survive. But a chelik of that is that their lives were full of meaning. Now, thank God, we don't have to struggle for physical survival, most of us. But our souls need that push, that infusion of meaning to keep us going. That is why it is so special when we follow a Torah true lifestyle and we raise a family. We learn Torah. We're Isaac and Mitzvahs. We pray. We lead a life of Achdus and Ahavas Yisrael and helping people. The more you allow yourself to be proud of those efforts in the right way, not arrogantly, but in the right way, Ashreinu, Matayv Chalkenu, Manon Gerlenu, Ashrecha Yisrael, Mika Amcha Yisrael, of doing all this, the more meaningful life will be, the more rewarding life will be. Recognize the nobility of many of the activities that till now you may have dismissed. It's mundane, it's routine. So I pick up some packages for Temche Shabbos. I deliver some food to some hungry person. So I donate something. No. There's nothing more meaningful than helping someone else. There's nothing more meaningful than creating a family. There's meaningful when you're folding laundry for your children, for your husband. There's nothing more meaningful than nursing your own child. There's nothing more meaningful than supporting your own family. Or being good to one's spouse and being good to one's children, leading their way in the way of the Torah, as mundane as it may seem. There's nothing more meaningful, and there's nothing more beautiful. So in order to a marriage to be successful, you need your husband or your wife's respect and a healthy dose of self-respect. Not to demand it, but earn it. Earn it by both of you being inspired to inspire that respect in each other by engaging in meaningful activities, serving together Hashem with your energies, maintaining your integrity in challenging circumstances, not wasting precious time, self-control, dignity, humility, compassion, warmth, kindness. That fills up the life and meaning. So that is his advice. Be involved in those meaningful activities, thrive in them, do them for the right reasons. And when you're in a family, husband and wife, do it together for each other, for Hashem. Another piece of advice that he shares is not to be so self-absorbed. Sometimes introverts have this problem. Deep thinkers have this problem. But they get too self-absorbed. They overthink too much. You'll be overwhelmed and paralyzed by your sense of inadequacy if you're hyper-focused on yourself. reduce the amount of time you think about you, 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 and you'll free yourself from obsessing about your own inadequacies. You'll begin to start thinking, what can I do with the talents I have to help other people? Yes, okay, I make mistakes along the way. I'll work on fixing them, but you're not so absorbed with those mistakes in a bashing way. So if you're self-absorbed, or if you have too much free time on your hand, the batala creates a thinking often of your failures, of your general unworthiness, very dangerous. Instead, when you have free time, do things that you thought you were incapable of doing. Do things to help people. Do things to help yourself, to help your marriage, to help in your avodas Hashem. And that way you'll be too busy to beat yourself up because you'll be thinking constantly of constructing things to do and actually doing them. Quality of another, humility. And humility does not mean you think less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. I really enjoy that line that he says here. It's a nice, cute line, but it has a lot of thought and insight into that line. Listen carefully again. Humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest Anav who ever lived. It's incorrect to say that as the biggest Anav, he thought less of himself than anyone else ever has a will. No. His Anava allowed him to stand before Hashem, to argue with kings. Yes, in the beginning, you see in Shemais, he sometimes, in the beginning, he fought, who am I, and he didn't want to take the job. But ultimately, once he accepted it, didn't look back. And he did everything. And he defended Klal Yisrael again and again and again. Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he's worried about a pacemaker because he didn't want to be a Balmum in case he ends up on the Sanhedrin, the Moshe Mashiach. And he was a Anav, tremendous Anav. Basically, Anava requires us to consider what needs to be done without wondering if we have the ability to do so because we believe Hashem gave us the Neshama and therefore he gave us, we know what our abilities are. If not, we need to learn what they are. And we can do it, and we can do it well. Self-confidence. Real Anava is healthy self-confidence. Listen to this Yoram on self-confidence that given for many, many weeks on Fridays. Pure Anava means that no thought of self, of our own agendas, our own capabilities, ever entered into calculation of whether we should engage in a certain task or activity. If it's the right thing to do, do it. Believe that you have the koich. If you're in a situation, trust Hashem that he gives you the ability to do what is entrusted in you to do. The Alter von Avardach said that I never asked myself if I could do it. I only asked myself if it is needed to be done. And you know something? Results are in the hands of Hashem. Sometimes you do what you need to do. There are times where there'll be indeed an external failure. Whoops, it didn't work. It backfired. But if it was the right thing, you did the right thing and you keep on moving. So this is healthy, opposite the two common self-absorption that we have that could lead to self-doubt and paralyzing yourself. And the third lesson of today is keep a little corner of your world for yourself, which means keep up your good habits and your good hobbies after you get married too. Because that increases the self-esteem and prestige in front of the Yechasan and Kala, and in marriage as well. Don't stop doing good things when you get married. You played violin for 17 years, you continue to play violin when you're married. Don't stop playing it after your wedding. You played piano, continue to play piano. You were drawing, continue to draw. The good stuff that you were doing pre-marriage, your talents that were expressed, continue to do. Continue to do men and women both. Even women involving with the kids, as mothers, as children, make time. If they have musical talent, arts talent, any other type of talent, use it. It's there to be had. Yes, there'll be tears with a husband and a wife where they won't have time to do a lot of things. When you're burdened with a full-time job trying to make parnasa and ends meet, and then you're learning and everything. When do I have time for this? And the wife also, with taking care of all the children, Make the time. You'll figure out to make the time. It is true. Yes, like we just mentioned, marriage, children, responsibility of earning a living, learning Torah, the complexities of life. We don't have enough time, but keep it. Keep at it. Save it. It's a life saver. Those healthy things that made you attracted to your wife or husband in the first place, those talents, those gifts that were being used, continue to use them. Continue to display the gifts that Hashem has given each and every one of you to use. You grow together with it. You don't never become stale. You sang beautiful Zmiris at home as a teenager. Continue to do so. All the good midos, all the good habits, all the good hobbies, all the good tchunas hanefesh, don't stop after you get married. And if you stopped, re-explore it, rediscover it, or if you never thought you had it, start discovering it now and bring out those good points in yourself. A oneness in marriage does not mean that each one ignores their own unique abilities and talents in their way of serving in Hashem, with Hashem. If a girl, as a girl, played a guitar and went to hospitals to be mechazik ill people that were ill children in the children's ward of a hospital, and to cheer them up, and to sing along songs with them, and to be mechazik them, then after they're married, continue. Even if you have a house full of kids, you figure out a way. You can't do it as often as you used to do. Don't stop. Continue playing that guitar. Continue singing. Continue dancing. Continue to thrive. Bracha v'atzlacha.